Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Stewart Podcast, part of the Off the Ball Network. This is episode 192, dedicated to a man who on April 26th, 2003, was the number one overall draft pick in the 2003 NFL Draft. Mr. Carson Palmer, and as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we talk a little bit about what Steph Curry did in the month of April, why an Oregon high school track athlete collapsed right before crossing the finish line, and was it a no-hitter or was it not a no-hitter? But first, the week we have all been waiting for is finally here. The NFL has pushed back the draft, started this trend a few years ago, and the week that we have been hearing about, talking about, and building up towards like the NFL wanted to do is officially here. I am also happy that draft week is here. I am also happy to start talking about other prospects other than quarterbacks. Yes, there's been some Kyle Pitts talk. Yes, you've heard some about Penei Sewell. Yes, you've heard some about maybe Najee Harris and Travis Etienne. Yes, maybe Micah Parsons. But we've heard a lot about five guys. Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and Zach Wilson. Almost forgot Zach Wilson. Almost forgot a couple names. I've been talking about them so much you would think they would be at the tip of my tongue. But no, I've tried to literally forget about all these prospects, what I have heard. Why? Because it's been going on for oh so long, and the week is finally here. If I sound a little emotional, I'm not going to cry on you, but maybe I'm getting a little emotional because I'm excited to see what happens on Thursday. We just heard earlier today, watching a clip, I believe, from NFL Network, from Good Morning Football, and they're saying teams might move up to try to grab a quarterback. May it be the Eagles, and I've heard they make phone calls every single year just to hear what people will say. Bill Belichick and the Patriots might end up moving up for who? One quarterback by the name of Justin Fields. It surely seems like number one overall, Trevor Lawrence, number two, Zach Wilson to the Jets, and that one still really confuses me, really confuses me. But then number three and on, at least quarterback-wise, yeah, San Francisco probably takes a quarterback. I've heard they've ruled out Justin Fields. Right now it's going to be more for Mac Jones or Trey Lance. That's where they're narrowing in on, and I've heard they got a lot of attention. They really like what they have seen from Trey Lance from North Dakota State. I want to encourage you. I was going to say something else, but my mind's everywhere. I encourage you, go to the YouTube, type in Trey Lance, watch some game film on him, and then come back to me and let me know what you see, because I thoroughly think he's being overlooked. He's immensely talented. He has a good build on him. He's solid. He has a sturdy frame. He can make throws. He can move on the pocket, and he processes things a lot quicker than a lot of your average D1 quarterbacks or even good D1 quarterbacks do as far as pre-snap, post-snap, drop back, read, and react. He does it a lot quicker and maybe better than you would think. And, oh, he also has a lot less interceptions than you would think someone that's going to be a top draft pick would have as well. Just a few nuggets there, but you also have other players that are going to get picked. You got players like Micah Parsons opted out, Penei Sewell opted out, the young man, the quarterback, the cornerback from Virginia Tech opted out, Sean Wade opted out of the season, opted back in, and we have seen a slide from him at the cornerback position. There's so much to talk about, so much build up to this weekend. It is in Cleveland. I have heard they will have up to 50,000 fans every single day at the draft. So 50,000 Thursday, Friday, and then another 50,000 on Saturday. I believe I have read that correctly. That's a lot of people, but it's also a move in a good direction, a direction that many of you would like to see, which is fans in the stands. Hey, football starts in September. The draft is in April. If we're seeing this many people at the draft right now, just wait to see how many full stadiums we have in the fall. Let's go ahead and take a trip to Oakland, California, because what Stephen Curry did in the month of April is something that we will be talking about for a very long time. But first, check this out. Support for this podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer for my listeners. 20% off plus free shipping. When you use promo code OTBN at manscaped.com. Once again, that is 20% off plus free shipping when you use promo code OTBN at manscaped.com. If I've said it once, I have said it 1,000 times. NBA basketball is fantastic. Yes, it is. And with NBA basketball being fantastic, you will find littered throughout the league numerous players that are immensely talented. From guys like LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Anthony Davis, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, John Wall. I mean, I could keep going on talking about how many players are really, really talented in this league. Then you have newcomers, youngsters like LaMelo Ball, Zion Williamson, that are just now making their name in the National Basketball Association. But then there's a guy by the name of Wardell. Sorry, let's use the name we call him by. Steph Curry, that is easily the best shooter that we've ever seen. I rarely use that term, but it fits right now. And what he has done in the month of April might not be done for a very long time. Stephen Curry, that boy good. I mean, I can't think of another phrase to describe Steph Curry except for that boy good. Have you watched him play throughout his career and seen what he has done to startle you, surprise you, and maybe even shock you when he is on the court? Not saying he's doing things that are bad, but the way he is playing the basketball game, the smoothness in his game, the quick jump shot that he has, and the moves that he has behind the arc, in front of the arc, to get to the hole, little mid-range game as well, that really just show you that he's very, very hard to stop. And when you think about the months and how many three-pointers Steph Curry has made, you may be thinking in your mind, well, Steph is good, but Steph's on the downside of his career. Steph is not the same player that he used to be. Steph is not the guy that was winning those championships and being led or being a leader with a team that has Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. I mean, those teams with Steve Kerr as a coach, those teams. Yeah, Steph Curry's not that guy anymore. Oh, please. Steph Curry's not that guy. Well, I thoroughly encourage you to go ahead and watch some more basketball games. Seriously, I have seen reports that NBA ratings are down. I have also seen some reports lately, more recent reports, that the uptick in ratings, that ratings are starting to go up just a tad. I have also seen that Disney might be joining ESPN to try to get a little gimmicky to see if putting a TV show or DC or Marvel, but a show with superheroes in it before a game to try to see if that boosts ratings. No matter if you've seen that ratings are up or ratings are down, one thing you can say is when things slowed down last year or halted in sports, your interest in sports may have gone a little bit away for a little bit and may not have been as strong as normal because other things were taking up your time. I'm very happy that this time last year, we had The Last Dance to enjoy every Sunday evening. I do wish that the documentary did not come on at 9 p.m. at night, but they wanted prime time and they knew the people on the West Coast wanted to watch things, a documentary about Jordan, just like those of us on the East Coast or different time zones throughout the U.S. that they did. So they went ahead and played that thing late at night. But when the NBA came back in the bubble, yes, bubble basketball was good, was a lot of fun to watch, but at the same time, it wasn't the same. I mean, I'm not going to try and knock it and say that it was. It was not the same. This year, even when there were no fans in the stands, seemed way more normal and seemed way more enjoyable than what we watched in the bubble. As fans started trickling back into the arenas and the stadiums, we have seen players, coaches, referees be a whole lot more happier because they're playing the game they love in front of the fans that love them. And at the same time, we saw this year when the season started, Wardell, I'm sorry, I gotta go back by Steph. I don't want to call him the name that mostly I don't know him by. Steph was hurt a little bit. Draymond was hurt a little bit. Klay Thompson has been out the entire season. And of late for the Warriors, James Wiseman is not playing right now either. He has been hurt. So the Warriors had some growing pains. The Warriors have players that you might not recognize. That goes throughout the entire NBA. Just going to be completely honest. There are players on probably every NBA team. You look out there and you say, well, I used to know the players on my favorite team. I used to know every single player out there that was either in the All-Star game or in the would have been the rookie sophomore game or the rising star. That's it, the rising stars game of late. But I don't know them anymore. I don't know what's going on. But now this is a time for you with ESPN being able to broadcast more games on the television, with college basketball being over and college football. Well, first college football, then college basketball being over. This is the time where ESPN is going to put a lot of games right in our faces, either be ESPN or ABC, whichever network is able to broadcast the game at that time. And Steph Curry, I know we don't watch Warriors games because they're late at night. Even on the weekend, I do try to catch a little bit. But I don't watch as many Warriors games as I used to. Could it be because Klay Thompson isn't playing? I'm a big Klay Thompson fan. Possibly. But I'm not sure the exact reason, but let me tell you something. Let's get into a little sneak peek at Jay's listening pleasure over the next few days. If Steph Curry and those Warriors are on my TV, I'm going to do my best to tune in, tap in, and make sure I'm focused on what they're doing. Why? Because that boy good. I said it once, I'll say it again. That boy good. What Steph Curry has done so far in the month of April, I believe earlier in the show, I said what he has done in the month of April, or what he has, yes, has done in the month of April. I should have added, the month is not over. It's April 26th. The end of the month is on Friday, the same day as the second day of the NFL draft. So there's a lot of time for us to see what Stephen Curry might do in the association when he has games left through this week. So far this month, Steph Curry has averaged 6.5 three-pointers a game, made three-pointers a game, 38.2 points per game, and he has set a record for most threes made in a single month at 85. That's 85 threes made and counting. That's amazing. That's amazing. You can say, Jay, it's the evolution of the game. You can say, Jay, it's the way that players are playing right now, because Stephen Curry has altered and changed how people play basketball. Whatever you want to say, okay, great. I understand it. During most seasons, the playoffs would have already started, so playing this late into the month, being able to set a record like this would not happen. I get it. I understand it. This is a different year. I do understand things this year, as far as records will be set in April, May, June, and I believe the regular season or the finals end in July. I do understand. I get all of that, but let's keep it in context. Regular season basketball, shortened season. Games are being played closer together. Got to condense things down to get the entire season completed in a timely manner, even though the NBA knows they dragged the playoffs on way too long. They could shorten the playoffs up. I know y'all want to make it so everybody can watch the games. Trust me, y'all. Y'all pushing this thing out. If y'all just play the games and make it a shortened schedule, people will watch the games in the playoffs. One complaint that I have and many people have about NBA playoffs is that they go on for way too long. I'm not knocking it. Well, I am knocking it. I'm not trying to say that I'm going to say it. It can be fixed. I was going to try and be kind of delicate and light there. No, it can be fixed. It should be fixed, but the NBA has something else in mind. But Stephen Curry, have you seen the different moves that he puts on display every single night when he's playing basketball? Have you seen how he embarrasses players when he's playing the basketball? Have you seen how he seems like he's always in his bag when he's on the basketball court? I remember early on when this season first started, even going back to last year, Draymond Green was talking about how he had to help the youngsters figure out how to play with Steph. Because Steph is special. Steph likes the ball in certain spots. Steph does certain things with the basketball that if you're not used to playing with him, you might have played with so many other players that like it a certain way. And then you're learning and figuring out how Steph likes the ball, where Steph likes the ball, what Steph's going to do on the court in certain situations, how to read and react. Go out and watch the ghost screen. It's a very quick action. I forget who it is on Twitter that shares this clip out. It's not B-Ball Breakdown. It's a guy that does clips of half-court plays and half-court sets. I forget exactly the name of this Twitter page, but I encourage you to go out there and check it out because you will see he had a sequence of videos, like four or five ghost screen action plays where Steph goes in, acts like he's going to screen you. He's in the screen position while he's running, but he doesn't stop. He gets there in a screen position. The defender a lot of times gets sucked onto the guy that has the ball because he doesn't realize his man Stephen Curry is behind the three-point line. Cash money every single, well, almost every time. That boy's not 100%, but he's hitting at a very high clip. Tomorrow, the 31-30 Golden State Warriors do host the Dallas Mavericks. Coming up, I'm trying to look at the schedule throughout the rest of the week. On Thursday, no game Wednesday. On Thursday, the Golden State Warriors go on the road to play the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves, who are 17-44. I'm going to tell you, I haven't watched as much NBA as I normally do this year. I don't know why. I've been so engulfed and wrapped up into college basketball that when the NBA was going and getting underway, and even though I watched the All-Star game, but I went back to watching college basketball being wrapped up into the NCAA tournament. But now all my attention, like I encourage you, is on the NBA basketball. It's right there on what those grown men are doing on the basketball court. No, I have not been to an NBA game this year. I've had the opportunity to go. I have decided to stay home. And no, it's not because of the Rona. That does not deter me from going out anywhere and to watch any game live. But if the Warriors came to town, I would honestly think about buying a ticket or trying to see if I could get the hookup to try to see if I could get a ticket to that game. The Pacers, then you have their own complaints about how they have played. But Golden State normally comes to Indiana and plays very well. Normally, Klay Thompson loves Bakers Life Fieldhouse. But Klay's not here. So Steph coming to town, there's two incentives to come, to go to the game. One is because it's Steph Curry. But two, there's a good chance that boy will go off. Recently, I was watching a high school state championship basketball game in the state of Michigan. And during the player introductions, I saw something that I thought was a little odd, but I thought it might change once the game started. So I'm just sitting there watching, relaxing. I'm able to get some high school basketball games here while I am at home in Indiana. So I was just like, hey, high school basketball, I like it. Let's watch the state championship. Well, once the game was going on, and once the players were Once the players were introduced and they high-fived everybody, starting lineups were announced, the coaches were announced. Coaches kept their mask on. People at the scores table, mask on. Referees, mask on. I know some places they have had that rule throughout the entirety of the last year or so when high school sports have been going on. The one interesting thing and odd thing that I noticed was that as the players from both teams left their huddles before the opening tip-off of the game, they kept their mask on. Now I'm thinking, this must be a mistake. Because when playing a sport, especially a sport when you're running, you need oxygen. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in good, breathe out bad. It's a cycle that's subconscious our body does automatically. No. The players kept the mask on the entire time. Now, I did see, which I think was wise, that some players, they did pull the mask down so at least their nose was exposed. I understand the CDC recommends that the nose and mouth be covered by the mask when wearing it. I get it. They recommend mask wearing. However, I don't think they would recommend you wearing a mask while playing basketball. I'm just going to throw that out there. But then in the state of Oregon, and I was not seeking out this information, it just happened to come across my Twitter timeline. The state of Oregon, there was a track meet out there, and this particular race that the article was written about was the 800. Those of you that do not know dimensions on a track or know anything about track at all, the track, that the running track that is at high schools and colleges and Olympics, all that kind of stuff, the track size is 400 meters. The straightaway is 100 meters. The turn is 100 meters. It equals 400 meters as you're going around the track. 100 meters on the straightaway. I like the speed, so I like the 100. I like actually a lot of track races. I like watching track meets. I'm one of those individuals. So this particular race was the 800, which would be 800 meters, two times around the track. One time around the track is long. It's a full-out sprint the entire time, and I've run that numerous times. Boy, it wears you out. In this race, it was a female, it was a women's race, a female race here in the, at this high school track meet in the state of Oregon. And in the state of Oregon, they require the high school, summer high school, the runner in this instance, is a junior, Miss Maggie Williams, who was very close to finishing our 800 meter race at this time. Oh, backtrack. I keep getting ahead of myself. The state of Oregon requires athletes, not just track athletes, but athletes, to wear a mask while competing in outdoor events. You may say, Jay, okay, that's the CDC recommendation. Go for it. I doubt they would recommend that. I have not fact checked it, but I really doubt that they would go ahead and say, oh yeah, you're running 800 meters a mile, 2 miles. Put a mask on. Okay. I'm just saying that right now. But. Miss Maggie Williams was on pace to run and to break the school record. It was another record she was on pace to break as well, until she started to collapse. And this is what the article says. She started to lose consciousness and fell across the finish line because she was not getting the oxygen she needed while running the race. The mask on her face while running the race, and I believe the picture I saw, her mask was over her mouth and nose. I had to go through a few different articles to see what the mask positioning was at this time. But the lack of oxygen she was getting at this time was the reason for her to collapse and for her to fall across the finish line. She did not break the record. Her slow up at the end was what derailed her from breaking said record. But this is what she had to say in regards to this little incident during her 800 meter race. Quote, I was pushing so hard and everything went blurry and I just fell. But luckily I fell at the right spot and crossed the line with my head, end quote. The head coach at this time is Mr. Dave Turnbull, who is the head track coach for this Oregon high school team at Summit High School. He took issue with the fact, this coming right from the article, he took issue with the fact that she was forced to wear a mask and suggested a lack of oxygen was responsible for her fall. This is exactly word for word a quote from the article in regards to what Mr. Turnbull, the head track coach at the school, had to say in regards to the rule that masks are required to be worn while athletes are performing and competing in outdoor events. Quote, I am concerned with the mask rule. This is what I am worried about, and I said this at the beginning of the season. You get a kid running the 800 with a mask on. It is actually dangerous. They don't get the oxygen that they need. This rule needs to change, end quote. I think he even goes a little bit further and says this. Here's another quote from him from this article. Quote, unfortunately, in Oregon, we have to follow the Oregon Health Authority, and the OHA is not reasonable. I would like those people to come out and run an 800 with a mask on, end quote. All my life, I have seen track meets, I have seen track events, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen a portion or some or a few track meets as well. Maybe you have attended them, maybe you competed or participated in them in your younger days, maybe in college, maybe even after that as well. And I think all of you know, or you have seen the 800 meter race, or you have seen the 400 meter sprint sometimes, or the 200 or 100 or at my high school 110 hurdles or 300 hurdles. I think Olympics is 400 hurdles, which still baffles me. That's amazing. That's a run. I think it's 400, 300, whatever it is. It's still wild that they're running over hurdles at that distance and doing it at the pace that they are. And many of us have exercised, or we have ran, or we have done certain things that have helped us try to build up our cardiovascular system, and that has really been helping us to get in really good shape. A lot of you right now, your gyms are opening up, and so you're able to go to gyms once again. Or some of you, your gyms have opened up once again. I have seen pictures and videos of many people around the country, around the world, that have built and made their very own in-home gym. I get it. It's amazing. It is amazing. However, you try. I wouldn't suggest this at all. I really wouldn't. But if you're a person that says and mandates, say, put a mask on while you're running a race, pushing yourself at your hardest, maybe not pushing yourself at your hardest at all, go ahead and wear a mask while running an 800. Do the same thing this young lady did. And this is the same thing I would suggest or say to those that are part of the Oregon Health Authority over there in Oregon that are mandating this rule for youngsters. I don't care if you're young, middle-aged, old. I don't care who you are. To me, it seems very idiotic, very wild that wearing a mask while running a race, competing in a race, working out is being mandated. If somebody wants to do that out of their own free will, so be it. That's their decision. That's on them. But for somebody in authority that's in a spot to make rules in regards to what is going on and how people are going to combat the Rona right now, which is in a whole lot better spot than people might think, this rule right here, I suggest, just like the head coach, Mr. Turnbull at Summer High School for the track team, go ahead, run 800 with your mask on, and then see if you would make this same rule after you are doing what you are telling people to do. Keeping this theme of odd situations and rules in sports, going from an Oregon high school track athlete who had to wear a mask while running a race, an 800 meter race, two laps around the track to be exact, to a situation in baseball that I think they didn't think they would be in when they implemented the 7-inning doubleheader rule. We've seen 7-inning doubleheaders last year and this year with games being canceled for various reasons. Major League Baseball says to make up games and to try to get as many games in as we can. We want to put in a 7-inning doubleheader rule. Okay, great. Sounds good on paper to some, but when put into practice, I don't think it's the wisest decision. I was not a fan of it previously, but once you put it into practice and you see how things go, I'm even more of a person that's less for this rule. The Arizona Diamondbacks had a doubleheader Sunday against the Atlanta Braves. Zach Gallen in the first game for the Diamondbacks pitched a one-hitter. I believe it was a 5-0 win for the Diamondbacks over the Braves. Game number two, Madison Bumgarner is up to pitch with the complete game 7 innings, no-hitter. Diamondbacks win 7-0. And why in the world is it in controversy right now as far as if this will be classified as a no-hitter or not? Well, a no-hitter in a complete game is 9 innings, the real length of a baseball game. When you only go 7 innings, that's normally the time when a lot of people maybe start focusing in on the sixth, but a lot of people start focusing in on a no-hitter in the 7th inning. Yes, I know Bleacher Report and other apps, ESPN, will start to alert you when someone starts getting 5th inning, 6th inning. That's just trying to garner interest for that network so they can get some more eyeballs to boost the ratings at the latter part of the game. I get it. It's a play on words. It's a great way to get your attention, to grasp you and say, oh, yeah, he's doing that. I got to watch what he's doing right now. So Madison Bumgarner with his 7-inning complete game no-hitter, in theory, in actuality, if it was a 7-game season, you would think, or 7-inning game, that was the normal length of the game, like in Little League or in college where 7 innings is the normal length of the game, that would be it. No-hitter, goes in the record books, no questions asked. But with it not being the complete length of the of a game, I am a little puzzled and up in the air about if it should count or not. Madison Bumgarner himself said if there were two innings left, he doesn't know if a no-hitter would have been completed. Why? Well, one, he has no idea what his body will do over the next two innings. Two, he doesn't know what the batters will do, how the batters will be altered. He's not sure if the umpire might mess up and call something a ball that he had called a strike or call something a strike that he had called a ball previously. There are so many variables that go into the final two innings of a game, or let's say final 2 minutes of a quarter, or 2 minute warning in football, or final 2 minutes of a basketball game, or whatever it may be, even the fourth quarter in general. If you're going to say the entirety of the fourth quarter in basketball, football, or whatever it is, a final set in a tennis match, or a volleyball, the final game in volleyball. There's so many different variables that go into the final portion of any game, any set, any match, anything that's going on via athletics. Think about you in bowling. Think about you how, let's say you are on a roll in a stretch to bowl the best game you have ever bowled, but you need that 10th frame and at least two strikes to do so. The pressure you put on yourself, not that the bowling alley or the lane or the ball or the pins, not that that pressure is putting on you, the pressure you put on yourself and the feeling you get in that moment to do something you have never done before. I won't say unthinkable, because everybody thinks that at times they will break their own record. So I won't say unthinkable, but to do something that you have never done before. We put unwanted pressure on ourselves at times just because we're human. And it's the same way in baseball. Madison Bumgarner, we don't know what's going to happen in the final two innings of that game. But. I understand the caution and the hesitation to not allow this to be a complete game no-hitter because, well, a regular Major League Baseball game is 9 innings and his only went 7. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Jay Stephens Podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstephens07. You can also send all of your emails to jstephens317@gmail.com. Remember to always subscribe, rate, and review. It's a great way for people that are searching for a new podcast to listen to come across this one. Then remember to always get the word out about the podcast via word of mouth. The things that we enjoy in life, you're almost willing and somewhat wired to tell other people about. So no matter if this was your first episode or if you have been listening since episode number 1, be sure to let people know about the podcast. This has been episode 192 of the Jay Stephens Podcast. I will see you next time.